You're tuned in to Global Waters Radio, a podcast series produced by the Water Team at the U.S. Agency for International Development. The series offers listeners insights from USAID officials, development partners, thought leaders, and experts from across the water sector as they discuss current USAID water programming and cutting-edge research from around the world. This week on the podcast, Dr. Darren Saywell, Senior Director for Water, Sanitation, and Health Practice at Plan International. Over the past 4 years, they've partnered with the Water Institute at the University of North Carolina to conduct an in-depth analysis of community-led total sanitation, or CLTS. This work has taken the team to 10 countries across Africa, Asia, and Latin America, where they've sought out hard evidence proving CLTS is an effective means for achieving large-scale sanitation behavior change. Dr. Saywell, to start things off, there are a lot of approaches out there for improving sanitation. Why focus on CLTS?
Sure. So, you know, the project has as its primary focus an examination of the effectiveness of local actors other than NGO staff to drive and sustain behavior change in communities around the issue of open defecation and latrine coverage. It's a deliberate focus on CLTS as a methodology for several reasons. I think the first of those is CLTS is an approach that's being adopted and adapted widely in sanitation behavior change across the world. As such, it's received a lot of attention, but not a lot of critical review. And I think that one of the things that the Gates Foundation wanted to do was to work with one of the prime implementers of CLTS, but to see how best we could do a critical review of what's working and not working, and to try to understand the reasons behind that. I think the sort of second reason for that focus on CLTS has been because one of the things that we know about trying to reach the Sustainable Development Goals is that we need to look for facilitators of change or agents of change who are more homegrown, i.e. they emerge within the community or they're connected to the community, rather than working traditionally through NGO staff or through government staff. We need to innovate, we need to find those local catalysts of change if we're really going to address the problem at the scale at which it's already happening. The foundation really wanted to sort of examine CLTS effectiveness working with us, but trying to innovate around local actors as the agents of change. I think the last thing to say about the project, which was a departure for Plan, is that it was based on a very rigorous research design and implementation schedule, and that required us to work hand in glove, so to speak, with the Water Institute at the University of North Carolina. And they were involved in helping to co-create that research design, in developing a robust methodology, in doing all of the data collection and data analysis based on the implementation work that we did. And I think that that was important because it's given some separation between ourselves as an implementing organization with a large vested interest in CLTS and the needs of the sector as a whole, which wants a stronger evidence base behind important programming approaches.
Right. Well, Dr. Saywell, 4 years into this project, can you share with our listeners some of the key findings to date and also maybe put them in context? How do you see these findings contributing more generally to the advancement of CLTS?
Sure. I mean, I think there are several key findings here, and they have associated implications both for policy and practice. I think there are five that I'll try to focus on. So the first is a positive message. The first is CLTS works as a methodology. More generally, in a field that's really lacking rigor and data, I think the work that we've been doing with the Gates Foundation and UNC shows evidence of the positive effect of CLTS and local actors on latrine coverage and on reducing open defecation rates. In Ghana, for instance, we saw a 19% reduction in open defecation rates in communities where natural leaders led the process, as compared to those communities where we did a more conventional NGO staff-led process. So that's a significant reduction in open defecation rates. It's a significant sign of success. Likewise, in Ethiopia, we saw similar outcomes, not as pronounced as in Ghana, where teachers led to something like a 13% reduction in open defecation rates in the communities where they led the process, as compared to our conventional approaches. So I think these are significant in terms of results from a programming perspective, but they're also a first in the sense that this is very hard-headed data. It's all statistically significant, and that's really a first for the WASH sector. So my first message there is CLTS works, and we have strong evidence for it rather than just anecdotes. The second message I would have is that the costs behind programming CLTS are completely misunderstood. And I think for the first time, this study has identified and has measured the relative costs of CLTS, distinguishing between the sort of backroom programmatic costs and the frontline local costs for this as a methodology. And I think, again, that's based on 18 months of tracking of data that NGOs generally don't track. I think the third finding is that local actors, like natural leaders, teachers, government staff, they're overburdened, but they have proven to be effective as catalysts of change. And the examples from Ghana and Ethiopia draw that out. I think the last message is that while CLTS works, it generally operates more effectively under known conditions, or as we've been terming it between UNC and ourselves, within a performance envelope, and that there are cost inefficiencies in applying that approach if you go beyond those preconditions. And then I think the last thing to say is that significant funds and resources for sanitation were successfully leveraged by those local actors, either at the community or at the local government level. And we have good examples of the sort of multiplier effect that has been achieved by using those local actors, both in terms of leveraging time or in leveraging hard cash, hard resources, which the community then invests in their own sanitation facilities.
And the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which has been funding this work, has recently extended the project for another 2 years. Is that correct?
That's right. And we will shortly be doing a series of national workshops in Kenya, Ethiopia, and Ghana in order to essentially launch this second phase. And that second phase is going to do a little bit more data analysis, particularly around sustainability of the outcomes both in Ghana and in Ethiopia. But the other thing that it's going to do is to focus on the degree to which the findings that are relevant for each of those countries were actually taken up, and to what extent have those findings been used, and how can we measure that use in one way or another. So has it flowed up into policy, or is it leading to changes in practice, either within plan on the ground or within other implementing organizations? So there's going to be a sort of deliberate tracking of use and uptake of the knowledge and the results that have been generated. And we'll try to derive some lessons learned from that about how organizations like the Gates Foundation should incentivize knowledge use, and how organizations like Plan should be thinking about the application of that knowledge.
If you're interested in learning more about this research, you can find policy briefings, implementation guides, videos, and other materials on the website of the Water Institute at the University of North Carolina or at planusa.org. And if you have any topics you'd like to see covered, contact us at waterteam@usaid.gov. This is Global Waters Radio.